It's like a long time since Stan Deo's been with me. I want to thank him for accommodating my schedule and of course, his busy schedule as well. StanDeo.com, that's the website. Link in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Follow along with us and Brighteon and Rumble as we go through the show images page. I've got to tell you this. I know Stan puts a lot, and I mean a lot, of time into his research for these shows. So please follow along with us and subscribe to us on Brighteon as well as Rumble. Go to HagmanReport.com for all the show links as well, including and especially EMPShield.com with all the talk about this nuclear stuff. You know, like, hey, duck and cover. I got a better idea. Choose a home model EMP shield to keep your protect your equipment at home. Do that as soon as you possibly can. That's EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman for $50 off. Get more than one. You know, Christmas is not that far away. It's really not. So gifts for the family that they can actually use. Not very difficult to hook up either. That's EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman. And again, one of the most favored guest status. How's that? Does that sound like a good most favored guest status, Eric the Tech? And that's Stan Deo from StanDeo.com. Stan, how are you, sir?
Very good. And how are you doing, sir?
Very well. Very well.
It has been a long time, hasn't it?
It has. You know, and you've got a lot. I've been following. Here's what I do, folks. I go to StanDeo.com every single day. I have my websites I go to, and I follow along with all of his information. Second to none, by the way. Make sure you do that. Make sure you bookmark StanDeo.com, as well as get your copy of Cosmic Conspiracy, Dare to Prepare, all of the intellectual products there. Please do that and support them on Patreon. Stan, where do you want to start today?
Well, you in the opening, you mentioned the EMP shield. Yeah. I think I'll start with that because in my show images page, I'm going to talk about three topics that all have to deal with nuclear war. And, of course, you're talking about the EMP shield to protect your solar power, wind power, your home. If you just got, electronics, smart refrigerators, air conditioning and that kind of stuff. If you need electricity on them, you better put one of these shields on. Now, I've been saying this, on some of my other, interviews is you don't realize that if you are not interested in protecting your household electronics from getting zapped by an EMP pulse from a nuclear bomb or from the sun, which lasts several hours, you better think about the problem with the sun, because the sun can produce an EMP that lasts for hours. It's not just a pulse. It's an EMP bombardment. And that sucker can put 60,000 volts into your breaker box in your house and make arcs all over inside there and cause a fire. It doesn't happen in a 100 millionth of a second or a millionth of a second, like an EMP pulse from above. It lasts for hours. And if you want to keep your house from burning down, I suggest two things. Put an EMP shield on your breaker box and get you some fire extinguishers to go out there in case it does catch fire and put out the fire at the breaker box. Now, this is important because your house will burn down, and that's probably more important to you than the electronics you might lose if you don't have an EMP shield.
That would suck. So, yeah. Okay. For our bodies. Eric the Tech, well, we're not really conductive unless you, put your lips around the breaker box, right? Okay, never mind. Go ahead, sir.
No, your cross-sectional area is so small compared to the rest of the house that you don't have to worry about it. There may be some odd circumstance, if you have a heart pacer or some electronic device in your body, that it might react to that, but it's a very rare thing, so I wouldn't worry about that. Okay, now, on my show images page, if you go to StanDeo.com and then on the right-hand side where the microphone is, click on Show Images. That'll take you over to today's discussion points and links to the articles and pictures of what I'm going to talk about. Now, the first thing is, which you are already aware of, it's happened in the last couple of weeks, is that Biden, when he was speaking at the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, that was an event they held, he said, for the first time since the Cuban Missile Crisis, we have a direct threat of the use of the nuclear weapon if, in fact, things continue down the path they are going. Now, okay, so he's advocating war. He's doing everything he can to make a war start. He's irritated the Saudis to the point, you know, that they don't want to even talk to him anymore because they think he's mentally deficient, which, you know, who can argue that? And he's the Russians in Ukraine, they are getting, you know, wound up to, you know, about energy and about Ukraine and whatever, to start a nuclear confrontation in Europe, which would bring us into the fight because of our support under the covers, you know, with Ukraine and weapons. Now, 59, slide 59, Russia said on Saturday that the accelerated deployment of modernized U.S. B-61 tactical nuclear weapons at NATO bases in Europe would lower the nuclear threshold and that Russia would take the move into account in its military planning. Russia has about 2,000 working tactical nuclear weapons, while the United States has around 200 such weapons. They've got 10 times as many tactical nuclear weapons as we do. And, you know, our nuclear weapons, we only have 100 of them here at home and 100 in Europe at our bases in Italy, Germany, Turkey, Belgium, and the Netherlands. So here's a representative from the Russian government saying, if you guys, you know, continue to put these new B-61 bombs that you've got, nuclear devices, into Europe, well, we're going to reassess our tactical plans for Europe, which means they're going to be looking at our bases in the countries I just mentioned to take them out because they're a threat to the Russian movement in Ukraine and some of the older Soviet Union countries and probably moving their way on up into Northern Europe. And a lot of this.
I was going through, I got to interrupt you real quick. I was going through a hard drive. I was looking for a specific file for a case that I'm working on. And I came across an article I reprinted from your website back in 2016 talking about the nuclear, about Ukraine and a nuclear threat. Okay, now I had to pass over that and I'm looking for it again. I'll find it and I'm going to send it to you because you were ahead of the curve on a lot of things that we're seeing today. Just thought I'd tell you that. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I had forgotten that, but yeah, I guess, you know, time flies. Boy, that's what?
It's 6 years
ago. 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yep. Well, yeah, what did he say?
No, if you're talking to me, it was just, I have to say that it had to do with a 2012, 2014 situation, but nonetheless, again, you were ahead of your time. NATO, Ukraine, NATO sponsorship, or getting into NATO, that kind of it was an interesting article, relevant to today, even more relevant to today. So anyway, that's
what I had to say. All right.
Yeah, so I'll send it to you though.
Okay, thank you. I think between the times that we have a show together, you know, once a month for a while until everything else kind of settles down, I might try to do some videos on YouTube and post them up there about, you know, intermediate news reports like we're doing now, because things are happening so quick, especially like the election coming, you know, that you can't wait a month to talk about that. So I'm probably going to put some either on our homepage or show images page link anyway. So stay tuned, guys.
How you feeling about that? Just while you're on that subject, just curious, how you feeling? You feeling like there's going to be a red wave and no cheating and everything's going to be up and on the up and up? And
well, let's say if it were a fair count of the ballots, that certainly there would be a red wave. That is a big if, because we know there are already moves, you know, with some of the smaller ballot counting situations to take ballot harvesting, to go out and take the ballots from elderly people and stuff that can't get to the polls or don't know how to do it. So that ballot harvesting may be a problem. Now, whether they do that or not, whether it swings the election in the wrong direction, you know, an unfair direction, we're going to see public reaction in the United States. If the red wave wins, well, then there will be democratic terrorism that will be following that. They will start a civil war. If it goes to the Dems, we'll start a civil war on the right side. You know, that's how it's going to go. Either way, we're going to see a civil war. I've been warning about this. Now, stand back and look at the earth And let's pretend that you're like Satan and the earth is your chessboard. And you've decided, okay, I will pull these strings, this string, that string, whatever. And in the United States, we need to get rid of them because they're a thorn in his side. He says, I need to get rid of the United States. So how do I do that? I bring in a bunch of illegal immigrants, terrorists, and I buy off politicians through China and Russia. And I make it so that the United States is going to be cast into turmoil, you know, civil disorder. I'll divide. I'll create chaos. That's what Satan would say. And we're seeing that. So no matter which way this election goes, I anticipate civil unrest, civil disorder. And I'll cover this here in just a couple of seconds about the global disorders as well. These are things I warned about in 1978 in the first edition and subsequent editions of the Cosmic Conspiracy book. And I told about crisis curves, nuclear, famine, civil unrest, pandemics, weather changes, a nuclear war. All this I warned about as curves that would come together at some point in the future, all at the same time, where the people of Earth, not the governments, but the people would say, oh, will someone help us solve this problem? And I'll get to that later in the discussion this morning, because that's kind of the area I'm covering. But in slide 60 here, they show a picture of Putin. The reaction of Russia to the Ukraine situation, to American involvement in Europe and NATO, that reaction depends on a guy, Putin, who is ill. We know he's ill, physically ill, and this may be affecting his judgment about wanting to recover the old Soviet Union as part of Mother Russia before he is taken out of office or dies or whatever. So we have to watch him daily and see that he's okay. And, he's threatened to put a dirty bomb into Ukraine, which, I can't imagine that he would do that, because it would pollute a large area of the land that he wants, to recover. But anyway, that's his current, saber rattling. And all this may be what Satan is intending, part of it, into threatening the people of Earth, all the peoples, with nuclear annihilation, nuclear winters, subsequent famines, if a nuclear war ensues in some description. So it's putting fear into the people about this. And, in the United States, Ukraine, I think we can both be thinking, okay, that's a possibility at the moment. So that fear factor is there.
I think, very well stated, though. I think a very important point that people need to understand. This is Satan's venue. This is Satan's planet. So there you have it. I mean, important thing to realize. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you do. It is. And you have to look at the big picture, because when they are herding all of us in an obvious direction here, like, we got to have the red wave to save the country. Okay, well, I agree. I'd rather have that than what's there, because I'm on that side of the, the division. But it's creating division in the country, and Satan puts his people on both sides of the issue, blue and red. So that no matter which side takes power, he'll have minions, puppets on either side's leadership. Now, that means that we're still going to have civil disorder, and we're going to have clashes. He thrives on chaos. That's his signature. And we're seeing that in the political threshold. But look at globally. We are at an unsustainable number of people on the planet for the resources we have. In slide 55, the global population is projected to reach 8 billion people on the 15th of this month. 15th of November. And India is projected to surpass China as the world's most populous country in 2023, according to the World Population Prospects 22, released today on the World Population Day. And you can click on that article and read it. We're going to lose hundreds of millions of people to famine and disease. There's no question about that. It's coming. And, the famines, although we won't call it a famine in the United States, there are going to be people who are going hungry and dying of hunger in the United States in 2023 because of the shortage of food on the shelves, the crop failures, the crops not planted, the animals not harvested because of various political and economic situations where the farmers just can't afford to do livestock or, you know, grains, you know, vegetables for us. It's just too expensive. There are many other factors, but they're being clobbered. So we're going to feel it here. But the third world countries, you know, in Africa and some in South America, certainly India, I would call, even though they're very advanced, I would call them third world because they are just so poorly taken care of. And that's a fault of their main religion, which has made them overproduce and not use birth control and a few other things with flooding, believe it or not. Now, this is a famine crisis curve, one of the curves I warned about in the Cosmic Conspiracy. The nuclear threat, the nuclear war, that was one of the things I warned about in 1978 and every issue thereafter, every edition. Those are two of the major curves that are getting the people's attention. Now, we're being herded by the governments of the world, you know, the senior elites of the planet, whoever you want to call them, Illuminati or whatever. They are the ones controlling all these chess pieces under the direction of Satan. And a brilliant mind has to be in charge of these chess moves. There's no question in my mind about that. And you sit back and you look at it and you say, look at all the factors that have been built for like the last 50 or 60 years to come together, come to a head right now so that the people of Earth will cry out for help. Anyone, solve the planet, you know, give us food, give us income, give us safety, peace and safety, you know. That's what we're all looking at. And we're being herded that way. So you just have to understand that this is the plan, and you've got to figure out how you're going to react to that. Either you're going to react and follow Jesus, you know, Jesus Christ, and ask for him to come into your life and help you, or you're going to have to do it on your own. And if you try to solve this situation on your own, I guarantee you, you're not going to. It's not going to come out well. You need help. We all do. And slide 56. More than 110 nations out of 198, over half of the planet's nations, have had significant anti-government protests since 2017. Now, if you click on the map, you'll see where these anti-government protests are happening. There are a couple of them, in, you know, one in Canada, one in the United States, one in Mexico. That's not major. But then you look over into Africa and into Europe and the Middle East and Asia. All those orange dots are where there have been anti-government protests. They aren't happy. And that's where your most populous areas are. Now, if you go back to slide 57, 101 countries witnessed rise in civil unrest in the last quarter of this year. Now, that 110 in slide 56 was since 2017, the last 5 years. In the last quarter, the last 3 months, 101 countries have witnessed a rise in civil unrest, and the worst is yet to come as socioeconomic pressure builds. The world is facing an unprecedented rise in civil unrest as governments of all stripes grapple with the impacts of inflation on the price of staple foods and energy. And according to the latest edition of our civil unrest index, the data covering 7 years shows that the last quarter saw more countries witness an increase in risks from civil unrest than at any time since the index was released. Okay. Now, out of the 198 countries, 101 saw an increase in risk compared with only 42% or 42 countries where the risk decreased. Now, click on the picture in slide 57. This shows you the civil unrest index. Now, this is one of the crisis curves. You know, there's famine, there's nuclear war, and there's, you know, civil unrest, people being unhappy with their governments to the point of you know, carrying pitchforks and marching on the Bastille. So you see on the left of this graph, is, you know, the countries that are deteriorating, they're losing control of their populations. And there was an improvement on the right side of the graph, which, you know, those 41 countries, you know, they're kind of minor countries as far as I can see. But you can get onto that civil unrest index and keep an eye on that weekly, because this tells you how irritated, how panicked people are. It's going to get worse before Christmas even. And when that happens, people who can't feed their family, can't put gas in their car, you know, and can't pay for their mortgage or heating, you know, or power, electricity, they're going to get desperate. And that's when, to Satan's delight, we will have civil unrest where protests, riots will break out. And at that time, you can expect the Biden government or whoever's in charge of the White House at that time, I don't know whether they're going to replace him by then or not, but that government to issue orders for martial law to try to bring the country under control. And this is going to happen all over the world in various countries where they're seeing such an increase in this civil unrest. Because although famine will drive them, it doesn't drive us so much, but shortage of money and resources and water and power, this is going to drive the third world countries crazy because they're going to die. With us, it's pulling your belt a bit and complain. But over there, you know, in Africa and in Asia, there are many countries whose people are going to just riot full scale. So knowing this, Satan has put this as another crisis curve, you know, the unrest of the government. And now we go to the lifeblood of the world economy, you know, money. Look at slide 52. And just the text for the moment. In the United States, the tightening of monetary and financial conditions will slow growth to 1% next year. In China, we have lowered next year's growth forecast to 4.4% due to a weakening property sector and continued lockdown. The slowdown is most pronounced in the euro area, where the energy crisis caused by the war, you know, in Ukraine will continue to take a heavy toll, reducing growth to 0.5% in 2023. Almost everywhere, rapidly rising prices, especially of food and energy, are causing serious hardship for households, particularly the poor. Now, if you click on that text, it'll take you to the article showing you the graphs, charts showing you how the economy has affected Latin America, the Caribbean, United States, Euro, Middle East, Central Asia. They're all there on that picture if you click the text. And it says policymakers need steady hand as storm clouds gather over global economy. So what do we got now? We've got threat of nuclear war, you know, as we first talked about. Then we've got famine, and then we've got civil unrest, and then we've got now then economic chaos. That's four curves that are absolutely critical to the survival of everybody on the planet. Well, the people anyway, not the elite. They're taking care of themselves. And if you look at slide 53, continuing on the famine business, a record number of people worldwide are moving toward starvation, the UN warns. David Beasley, head of the UN World Food Program, said its latest analysis shows that a record 345 million acutely hungry people are marching to the brink of starvation, a 25% increase from 276 million at the start of this year, 2022. Before Russia invaded Ukraine on February 24th. And before I finish reading that, isn't this incredible that Russia's invasion on Ukraine has caused such a global bit of chaos? I mean, shortage of food, you know, and threats of nuclear war all over the place, and energy shutdowns in Europe, and, you know, the price of energy that you can get is too expensive. So all this has happened over Russia invading, you know, Ukraine, and is dragging on at that point. But I just find that it was an incredible strategic move by Satan to cause Russia to get in and make this Ukrainian invasion to be a catalyst for so many things on the planet that are going to go wrong or are going wrong. The report said the state of food security and nutrition in the world says world hunger rose in 2021 with around 2.3 billion people facing moderate or severe difficulty obtaining enough to eat. That is 25% or better of the world's population. And that fits kind of into the numbers in the book of Revelation of people that are going to die, either from starvation, you know, famine, water shortages, diseases, viruses. The number facing severe food insecurity increased to about 924 million. So in other words, there was 2.3 million moderate or severe difficulty, but those facing acute shortage of food, like to the point of death, there's 924 million people. That's a lot of angry people, a lot of desperate people. East Africa, you know, I watched in, you know, Tanzania and Kenya and whatever. In slide 54, it shows the drought, which is, you know, not in human control, but the drought is causing East Africa, you know, like millions of people there to starvation. I still communicate with my people I met down in Tanzania. Look, when I found the Garden of Eden, and they're desperate for food and water there. Fresh water is a big problem, a huge problem. And with this drought there, more than 50 million citizens in that, in Somalia, which is, and Kenya, which are right next to Tanzania, Uganda, which is the other side of Tanzania, Djibouti, which is, there at the at the end of the Great East African Rift in Northeast Africa, Ethiopia, South Sudan, and Sudan. All of these are food insecure at the moment. Now, this is going to increase. And you know, the church that I worked with down there, the guy that was in that fellowship is also the guy that set up our tour to go to the Ngoro Crater to film the Garden of Eden. He has been trying his best. He's been sending me photos of when they get to, you know, like these big sacks of grain and stuff that they can give to really poor families here that are about to die. And he'd line up maybe 30 or 40 of them and give them these sacks of grain. And some of them put a sign in front saying, thank you, you know, Mary Smith in the United States for this bag that you bought for me. And that's fine as long as there's grain to buy at any price. And that's the issue. If there's no grain, you know, no food for them and no water, they're going to die. And one of these articles I read this week, golly Moses, it's really depressing to see this.
Everything coming together at once, and that's no accident.
No.
You know, that's, wow. Okay.
No, it's not. It's not. If you click on that article in slide 54, it'll take you to more details about East Africa's drought problem. And you'll see. So Ethiopia is probably the worst affected. We've always had that problem, but it's getting really bad now. Somalia is where the pirates are and stuff like that. So anyway, have a read of that article and, you know, think about the fact that you could still go to the grocery store. It might take your firstborn, but you can still buy food if you got the money. Whereas there, you know, if you got the money, you still can't buy it because it's not there. And, the Russians have been holding back ships that were taking grain from Ukraine to Africa. They've been stopping them, and they've withdrawn from the, I forget what the agreement is, but where they say that they would let ships for food for, you know, humanitarian reasons leave Ukraine and get to their port. They've been holding them up and inspecting them and whatever. And so they've pulled out of the general agreement with NATO about this. I don't know what that means. Is it they may stop the ships entirely, but it's putting a squeeze on the food supply, just the raw grain and stuff that comes out of Ukraine to Africa and to Asia. And we got some of it too, but you know, it's just, as I said at the beginning, Satan is a master chess player. And when I sit back and look at this, all the moves, the diversions, the planting of people in places over the last 50 years, you know, control of various organizations, formation of various organizations under his control, it is like an all-encompassing war plan to take over the earth. And it's all coming to a head right now. Now there's, once we get to the point where we're threatened with total anarchy on the planet, or at least majority of countries, we're over half of there now, threatening anarchy. And I think 2023 will see that in some places. When that happens, people are really wanting to have a solution. And I bring to mind, let me just see here, let me just get something here for me. Here, yeah. Okay. Remember me talking about Earth and the flying saucer, you know, landing to help us.
Oh yeah.
One of the things that I did not cover, and had not even thought of really, was that because the Earth, like the moon, can have cavities within it and perhaps shells within shells, like artificial layers inside the, or not artificial, but layers of gravity within the planet where you can have potentially a place for beings or animals and beings to live inside the planet. Now, I just saw a documentary on Alien on History Channel, you know, the Alien Landing type program. I forget the exact name of it, but you know the one I'm talking about. They're just the whole series of alien discussions. They were discussing this very thing with Admiral Byrd and how he found, which we know the reports, whether they're real or not, he found civilization under the mantle of the earth, under the surface at the South Pole. And he saw, you know, according to his diary that his son released, flying saucers and advanced beings that he met with down there. And then he came back and everybody came back home instead of completing their mission. Well, in my hypothetical, well, my theory of how planets form and how moons form and how stars form, they will spin and form layers or shells within the center of that spin, collecting mass to make a planet or collecting mass to make a moon. But in that show, the moon was discussed about it ringing when when NASA hit two heavy objects that they put up there in orbit onto the moon, and they measured the seismic sounding of it. And they said it rang like a bell in the first instance for about 30 minutes, second instance for about an hour. The whole moon rang like it was hollow. And then they discussed the depth of the craters on the moon and how they're all within, you know, like 20 miles. You know, the surface might only be 20 miles deep because there's no deeper craters and gouges like you'd see on, say, Mars in the Cydonia region. They said for that reason, there must be a hard shell underneath the layer of dust so that the asteroids or meteors that hit the moon don't go inside and penetrate whatever's inside. Now, it is a fact that it rang like a bell, and it's not going to do that unless there's a void inside the moon. Now, is that something that is artificial? They're saying it is. I don't know, but it's very unusual. On the Earth, we have a similar situation in the formation of it, which will form a solid layer and then a gap, another solid layer, then a gap, in my theory, down toward the core where, you know, it's too hot. So are there beings living underneath the Earth? Are there satanic beings that are going to be released up through, you know, an opening, they say, to afflict mankind in the Book of Revelation? That's quite possible. And I hadn't covered that in the Cosmic Conspiracy because I just hadn't thought about it being where Satan would have other civilizations or groups of beings. So that's another factor to put in. We're going to see either from inside the Earth or from off the planet some group of quote-unquote messianic saviors for the planet to help us with our problems, with our economy and our food and our weather, asteroid strike or meteorite strike and nuclear war, how to bring us into a global community safely ruled by Satan's man, which the book calls the Antichrist and the false prophet, the two of them together. So I see this as all part of his game. And so I share this with you. I knew this in 1978 when I wrote the first edition of The Cosmic Conspiracy. And the first 200 pages remain as they are. I've added things after that. But and if you look at Prophetic Perils, the book that Holly wrote, that also ties in biblical prophecy to countries today that you can see and you know them for what they are. Let me just see if I can pull that up for you here. Prophetic Perils. There. How do I get it? Yeah. Prophetic Perils. It's a really good book. A lot of the things she's mentioned in there are happening right now. And it's from biblical prophecies. It's nothing magical. It's just that. Okay. Let's see, where are they here?
I was gonna run over and grab my copy of Prophetic Perils, but that was fine, folks. A very, very informative tome about really about things taking place today. Prophetic Perils. Go to standale.com. Make sure you get a copy. Prophetic Perils. There it is, right there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Do I have that? Yeah. Okay. And you can get it on our website, standale. Standale.com, and go to our books section and click on that and have a look. And Dare to Prepare, which helps you to even organize your basement or your home in case of a nearby nuclear strike that puts a radioactive cloud over your house, how to prepare. And she's managed to collect some reports the government put out in the 50s, you know, preparing for nuclear war, which were no longer available. She got copies of the originals and put them into the book on how to prepare your home. And how to block your windows and stuff like that, especially if you've got a basement, to weather nuclear fallout should the anvil cloud descend over your home. Anyway, these are all practical things. And even if you're not in a nuclear attack, the book tells you about, as we've talked about many times, how to prepare for food and water that you'll need. Oh, yeah. And on that subject, let me find it here. slide 47, you're going to harvest rainwater right now. Why scientists now say rainwater everywhere on Earth is unsafe to drink. And they tested from North, South Pole and all the countries, you know, areas in between rainfall. And a study by Stockholm University scientists found that all rainwater on Earth is unsafe to drink. This is due to PFAS levels, or per and polyfluoroalkyl substances. A host of possible serious health consequences has been associated with these PFAS, including cancer, infertility, and pregnancy complications, immune system problems, and increased cholesterol. Now, immune problems, you know, if we're drinking rainwater and these PFAS things are in our rainwater and also in our public water supplies, if we're doing that, it's reducing our immune system, the effectiveness of it against viruses, bacteria, and, you know, normal things it protects us from. Now, the good news is, okay, that's happening. It's happened all over the planet, and you have to have a way to filter that stuff out or, you know, not drink it. Now, some of the well water and stuff is clean, but slide 48 says these forever chemicals, the PFAS, they just don't die of natural causes. You've got to filter them out of water. That they can be removed with the filtration methods. Now, click on the text in slide 48. There you go. Right. Okay. Sorry. That's it. Okay. You can see there about this method of trying to get these forever chemicals out of our water. Now, they haven't got it to a point where it can be used industrially, but they're headed that way. So having given you the bad news, there's the good news that they are working on it. Whether they have time to finish it and the resources to finish it, I don't know. It's, wow. I mean, water is one of the most essential things to life. You can do without food, you know, a little while. In fact, probably a lot longer than you can do without water.
Yeah. Folks, when it's raining outside, don't go walking out with your mouth open. That's for sure. But no, that's disturbing on a number of levels. Although filtering water is necessary, I'd like them to test bottled water too. I would really like to see some testing of bottled water to see exactly what's in there. To see
if they don't get it from a deep well. If they get it from a spring that is fed by rainfall, then it's going to have the contaminants in it.
Yep.
There's no question about that. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. How does that work? Sorry, I just look at something on my show images page, turning the text blue. Okay. Slide 50. UN committee demands Israel destroy its alleged nuclear arsenal. With an overwhelming 152-5 majority, a UN committee devoted to world security called on Israel Friday to renounce its nuclear arsenal and to put all its nuclear-related sites under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency. It should be of no surprise to us that Iran was one of those 152 people voting that Israel give up its nuclear weapons. This is madness. This is madness. They're just trying everything they can in the Middle East. This is Satan's thing, to destroy Israel, you know, the people of God, the people of the book. Yeah. Incredible. You can read the article. Yeah. Yeah. Not to develop, produce, or test or otherwise acquire nuclear weapons. That's what they want. Well, you and I both know that the Israelis have some pretty unique weapons in their arsenal. And I suspect that they've probably used those when Saudi Arabia and a few of the other Arab countries unite to try to attack Israel and find that they're facing a wall of fire. But anyway, that's in the future. These things here are just, you know, I'm standing on a hill here looking at all this, you know, from an overview, and I'm thinking, when did I start talking about this? That was 45 years ago. I mean,
yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Anyway, yep. Fortunately, happily, the Lord has encouraged other watchmen to write and research other factors of this and to write books and do shows like you're doing. And
why now? I mean, 45 years ago, you had you had a handle on this, but why now? Why not 5 years from now? Why not 5 years ago? Why now? Well, with all these things.
Well, I guess really what we say is it's to Satan's master plan. He's got to have all these things come to a head at the same time. We've had famines before. We've had threat of nuclear war before. We've had monetary problems before. We've had some overpopulation problems in certain areas. But all of these things are coming to a head now, so that the people are going to be so frightened that they'll cry out, give us peace and safety from all these threats. Can anyone do that? And they have lost faith, as the Protocols of Zion, which was not a Jewish production, it was a spurious document in Russia, but it did say that they would force the people into wanting a new world order, to stop having faith in their established governments, to cry out for a king of the planet. And that, whoever wrote that document, that is what is happening now. And it's not a Jewish document like they try to tell you. It was Russian and German propaganda against the Jews. But in that book, the outline of what is happening today was there. Infiltrating educational facilities, infiltrating religious colleges, controlling the economies of various countries. And, you know, it's all there. And I see it happening now, because this is the moment, the first time we've had, when all of these crisis curves are peaking out at the same time. And, you know, the world population, the world food situation, water situation, all of these things are so critical to life that it's the perfect time for Satan to grab control of the people of the planet under his control, because they'll give it to him in exchange for temporary peace and safety. That's why it's happening now.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. And you know, talking about this kind of stuff, in Israel, you know, they're not all Jewish. There are Hindus there. There are Mohammedans there, obviously, you know, Dome of the Rock, and Al-Aqsa Mosque. There are Christian missionaries there in all denominations, you know. And in Israel, the Orthodox Jews are really concerned with the missionaries, especially the Christian missionaries, proselytizing, you know, normal Jewish people, and trying to explain to them that Jesus is their Messiah they were looking for, and he's coming back. Now, in slide 51 here, the current temporary leader of Israel until the next election, Lapid, his wife was accused of being a secret messianic or Christian believing Jew. Now, she denies it. There's a video here you can see about it. Chaim Mandelsman, a prominent Christian missionary in Israel, sincerely apologizes for mistakenly saying that Lehi Lapid is a believer in Jesus, or was there pressure to redact, and they say here, or was there pressure to redact his statement in the video on this interview? Now, there's a rabbi on the right talking about it on the Tanakh talk show with William Hall. It's a video explaining that they think this guy who said that Lapid's wife was a messianic Jew, you know, he made a mistake, or he was told by them to withdraw his statement, because it's such a heated debate in Israel about these missionaries, especially the Christian missionaries, converting so many people to being messianic believers, Christian Jews. And it's important to know this, because in slide 46, you can go and read the article, but it says, how will Christians and messianic Jews in Israel vote today, November the 1st? We'll find out tonight or tomorrow how they voted for a new prime minister. Surprisingly, they say not many of these voters will support Netanyahu, beloved by the evangelical world outside of Israel. Many instead are turning to parties with biblical ideologies. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, because, you know, Christians follow the Bible and have biblical ideologies, but they are saying that they're turning away from Netanyahu because they don't think that he supports biblical ideologies the way they do. I don't know. So we'll see what happens. I know that for stability in the region, probably not the right stability, but the stability in the region, Netanyahu is a perfect candidate for it, like Trump is for us, or was for us. I don't know whether they'll bring him in or not, but it's there. And look at that that election article. They have so many parties that have to form coalitions to get a majority vote. They have to have 61 seats in the Knesset. And they don't think that Netanyahu is going to get that 61st seat. He's been trying to negotiate with some of the minor parties, and they don't think that he will do it with the Islamic party parties. But anyway, he's in a real tight spot to try to get control of the government again to move it in the direction that, well, the United States would like to see it, so that they can get help from Israel against Iran, because Iran's a threat to us as well.
Mm, that's right.
Anyhow. All right. Now, down in the lower slides is, astronomical events. Let's look at slide 38. Click on that picture, Eric. That's the heliographic shot of the sun's current activity. It shows about half of the sun around the front and around the sides a bit. One of the satellites stopped functioning years ago, so we have blank spaces, dark spaces on left and right of that. But those bright spots up at the top left of the green are showing the active regions that are moving into Earth direction. That's at zero in the middle when it's pointing straight at us. More in the northern hemisphere. Well, what they say is the northern hemisphere. Let me see if I've got a... Yeah. Go up to slide 40 and click on that as well. Now, slide 40, you get daily plots of the magnetic field of the sun. And when I say that it's, in the northern region, that's kind of, if you're looking straight at, like we are now, Earth view of that, the green line is the North Pole magnetic field lines, and the purple are the South Pole. But notice, they're not straight up and down. They are tilting as the north and south magnetic pole of the sun is flipping upside down, as it does every 11.5 years in the solar sunspot cycle. But it's odd that you see that the active regions, looking at that picture, are straight across the top and straight across the bottom, and the equator seems to be right in the middle. Yet the magnetic field is flipping while the sun is spinning. This is creating some rather interesting developments on the surface of the sun. Now, I put a link in that slide there, see website, interactive solar field line viewer. You can click on that and then go up the top and click in the date, whatever date you want to, past or present, and see where the north and south magnetic pole of the sun is and where the spin of the planet is placing these active regions. This solar cycle, I think, is going to be exceptional, as do many of the professionals in the field. Exceptional meaning we might see some really horrific coronal mass ejections and flares flung off of the sun, possibly in our direction.
And there you go, empshield.com, promo code Hagman. I'm telling you, you're going to need one. That's right.
Yep. Now, in slide 37, I click on a an image of the sun. Now, this is taken in the wavelength of helium, second ionization, helium-2. And it shows more of that activity that you would see almost visually in this. If you click on that, it'll take a probably about a minute for it to start loading up images of this animation, showing you the last 48 hours or so. Maybe not even that much. Yeah, about 48 hours. And you can see these horrific things coming around the top left of this animation. It's going to get worse. We've seen worse already, but this is going to develop into a really chaotic time on the sun. And I just wanted to show you that so you can visually see what these still pictures don't show is the animation of these flares on the upper left coming off. And they're going to get bigger. I've seen bigger, many times bigger already this cycle. This is kind of a pretty thing. Slide 41 is on the pillars of creation. That's what they call this shot that Hubble took many years ago and that James Webb Telescope is taking now. And if you click on the picture, you can read the article later. I want to show you something here neat in the picture. Now, if you click on the picture there, you see up toward the upper right, it looks kind of like a head and a neck coming down, and they're little spiky things with stars at the end of the spikes. Now, if you click the spiky thing, it'll zoom up, Eric, if you click down about the neck region there of that thing. Click on that star in the middle there, that bright star. Can you see that? Okay. Now, that bright star is at the end of a cloud being thrust out, a pillar being thrust out. Now, my theory of how it all works and stuff that I saw when I was out of my body and was talking to the Lord about it, these things are moving so fast and are so dense. Something has caused this cloud of dust to move and accelerate to a speed that forms these pillars. And at the end of these little pillars, it causes a spin to start collecting, you know, the dust and stuff into a fusion reaction to make a star. And this is, you're seeing the birthplace on these little tips that are got a star at the end of them, the birthplace of a star due to the acceleration of this cloud of dust by something else, some other gravitational force, in, you know, the creation moment, you know, when God spoke the words, you know, and into being, it was like a tremendous amount of like special kind of sound, but waves that went into a very still environment and formed all these galaxies and stars. And this is a very great picture of how these stars are formed at the tip of these accelerated columns. Knowing what accelerated, I don't know, but you know, it's just proof of what I was saying. You know, accelerated like this, it creates the spin, and that forms that little column point there, and then it turns into a star when it ignites and collects all the other stuff and blows the other dust away. This is just such a remarkable snapshot in time, you know, millions of years ago.
Anyway. Is that in motion? I mean, is that?
Yeah, that's in motion.
Okay.
But it's 6,500 light years away. So at the speed of light, that was 6,500 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where is it now? I don't know. But, you know, fascinating, fascinating thing. Okay. What are we looking at here? We got about, what, three or four minutes?
About 8 minutes.
Oh, 8 minutes. Okay. Okay. Well, let's go over to 42. You know how they tell you that black holes, everything comes in, nothing comes out?
Yes.
And I've always said that's not correct, because I knew at the time from other reports that black holes at the polar regions of these spinning black holes periodically emit large gamma ray bursts. That's energy that's, you know, it's chewed up whatever it ate and it's spitting out as gamma ray particles periodically. But what I didn't know was that there's something called Hawking radiation, which reduces the mass and rotational energy of black holes and is therefore also theorized to cause black hole evaporation. Now, if that happens, that means that whatever came in got digested, but it's evaporated into other forms of energy, in this case, at least Hawking radiation, and it eventually dissipates, which is really kind of a neat thing to know. Black holes do not gain mass through other means. They are expected to shrink and ultimately vanish. So if they can't eat, you know, consume galaxies or star systems around it, they will eventually just fade out. But for all except the smallest black holes, this would happen extremely slowly. So in CERN, for instance, you know, when they're trying to create an artificial black hole at an atomic level, people are thinking, oh, no, it's, you know, it's going to swallow the Earth. There's not enough material for it to, you know, in the CERN reactor or CERN tube to, you know, create enough mass to be a threat. And even if it did form a miniature black hole, it would evaporate, you know, in probably billionths of a second, according to the Hawking radiation. And you can see this if you go to the website, which is in the text. It's on Wikipedia. And, you know, it tells you all about this. And I'm just, you know, I'm amazed. I just had never heard about Hawking radiation, but it's just another thing to put on this common misconception is that, you know, black holes suck in everything and don't give anything back. They just convert it to a new form of energy and then dissipate it to gamma ray bursts and radiation that goes out into space and perhaps creates other star systems eventually. Fascinating thing.
Wow.
It's like a galaxy breeder or something, you know. It's just a long process. Fascinating, though. Anyway, that's Stanley's nonsense. Now,
very interesting.
Let's go to New Zealand. You know, we've been worrying for some time since I've been down there and had the dream vision that Lake Taupo is going to erupt and blow up half of North Island and create a lot of problems. And slide 43, that shows currently that there are three volcanoes that are active, minor volcanic unrest. And this happens periodically through time. And it's White Island at the north tip of North Island, down in the bay there. And then there's Ruapehu, which is down at the southern end of Lake Taupo. And there's Lake Taupo itself, which is active. Now, if you click on the text, you could go to that site and see it, and you can check it periodically. But, excuse me, slide 45, if you click on the text or the picture, it'll take you to a shot I took of North Island of a 4.7 earthquake, about 6.5 miles east of Taupo. It says 11 kilometers, whatever that is. And the blue dot shows the earthquake. The arrow shows Lake Taupo. And just to the south of that dark spot that's the lake is where Ruapehu is. Now, if Ruapehu is active, Taupo is active, and there was a volcano to that side. Now, go back to slide 43 and click on the text. Or, sorry, the picture. The text shows you that, or tells you that there are 727 earthquakes under Lake Taupo since about early September. They don't say exactly in the article here, but anyway, if you go to the picture, you'll see a comparison from 1870 to now of when they had unrest in the Taupo volcanic area. The map at the top shows where these 727 earthquakes have been occurring in the kind of northeastern side of Lake Taupo, which if you look at the word Taupo, that red dot up there, and just come down straight down to the edge of the blue there, you'll see that's where we were at that motel that I had a dream vision of, that it said that Lake Taupo, we could see the eruption start there. It'll be the water dropping and getting hot and then erupting. And this is exactly where I saw that it would happen. So, was it bad pizza? Bad pizza, or, you know, it's coming. Now, I haven't seen any evidence or in the news what that Maori Kahuna woman told us, that before this erupts, which they say it will soon, there will be a scandal over a dam collapse due to shoddy materials or something, or the logs in China. Now, I don't know that there are any logs involved in the Royal Gorge, or, you know, the Three Gorges dam, but there are other tributary dams feeding into that. And so watch for a scandal, you know, in China over a dam collapse. And when that happens, she says, very soon after that, there will be the eruption of Lake Taupo, which will destroy over half of the North Island and will produce clouds in the atmosphere for a year or two, in northern and southern atmospheres.
And so China first, and then
it comes.
I got you. All right.
And you can look at this. I mean, look, when I was down there and had that dream vision, I told the GNS, which is like the USGS for New Zealand. I told them, I talked to them, look, you need to be able to monitor the water levels in Lake Taupo and watch for, you know, thermals coming up if it's going to crack and break and drop the water down and become a steam reacted explosive volcano, which, you know, I saw in the dream vision. Now, they, of course, didn't think the dream vision was worth a darn, but they said, well, okay, we wish we could. We realize that it needs to be monitored, but we don't have any money. They're spending $100 million up in Wellington, in the capital city there. I forget the name at the moment, but they're spending to move Parliament House 100 feet to the west. And, you know, for whatever reason, they determined it needed to be done. But when I made this announcement over Art Bell, while I was still down there next to the hot Lake Taupo, I mean, it was still warm. It was putting steam up through the sand. And so we walked along the shore there in that place I showed you on the map. And when I did, on Art Bell, I thought, well, that's the United States. I didn't realize that so many people in New Zealand listened to Art Bell. And they call such... It caused such a furor that the Department of Tourism asked me never to come back to New Zealand. But the year following, magically, a huge budget was given to the GNS people by their government to get to rent a German yellow submarine to go down there and map all these thermal areas here, to put in new sensors along the tributary rivers and water level sensors in the Lake Taupo itself, the things they needed to be able to warn people. Now, you know, one small voice and a big radio program does a lot of convincing.
Right from the lips of Stan Dale via Art Bell. Oh, my goodness. Great times indeed. Stan, thank you so very much. A lot of information. May God bless you. Folks, support Stan. Go to standeo.com. Make sure you're a Patreon member, as well as all of his intellectual property there for sale. And, of course, the headlines every day. Stan, thanks, brother.
You bet. Lord bless you and heal you. Bye-bye.
Good night.